This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Numbers chapter number 13 and verse number 20. Tonight I want to preach to you on the grapes of Eshcol. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 20. Moses here is speaking and he's talking to the spies. That is one man from every tribe, the 12 tribes. So there are 12 spies that go in. And Numbers 13, from verse 4 down through verse 15, we find the names of these spies. Verse number 20, we find the instructions that Moses gives to them. In verse number 20, he says, "And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahab, as men come to Hamath. They ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now, who were the children of Anak? They were giants. They were giants. And here they come into the land, and they see these giants. And the Bible says, now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the Brook Eshcol because of the cluster of the grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Holy Father, anoint me to preach your word. Anoint the ears to hear, the heart to receive. Let our faith be built and strengthened. In the name that is above every name, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, the beauty of the Bible is in the fact that everything about it revolves around one theme. And that theme is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Everything about the Bible points to Jesus. Every story points to Jesus. Every person's life points to Jesus. Every type and illustration points to Jesus. And I'm telling you that every fruit points to the Lamb of God. Amen. The Bible tells us, we find here in the book of Numbers chapter 13, we find that Moses has come. We're 11 months. Roughly 11 and a half months, rather, from coming out of the land of Egypt. They have spent roughly 6 months wandering, and they have gone from the waters at Meribah, and they have come down to Elam, and then they spent 11 months at Mount Sinai and got the law. So they have roughly spent some year to year and a half, and now they are on their way up and have camped at a place called Kadesh Barnea. In the Bible, it's referred to as Kadesh. That word Kadesh, it means holy. And this was the place where God had stamped to set himself apart in the eyes of the people and to set the people apart in the eyes of the world. And he takes and he says, this is what we need to do. You all have been out of the land of Egypt now for a year to a year and a half. And now you have wondered, and maybe you have forgotten the promise of the Lord. He said the Lord's going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. He says you're going to live in houses you did not build. You're going to pluck from vines that you did not plant. You're going to eat of fruit that you did not sow. Moses says, I want to prove it to you. And at the word of the Lord, he takes one man from every one of the 12 tribes. And he brings them apart and he gives them a mission. He says, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go into the land, and I want you to spy out the land. Go into the land, and I want you to see if it really is a place where homes are large. Tell me if it really is a land that flows with milk and honey. And then he gets down into verse number 20. And this is what he says. He says, this is what I want you to do. He says, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. And I want you to bring of the fruit of the land. He said, I want you to bring back a token to the people. Now, these people could have brought back anything. God could have had them bring back a piece of board. He could have had them bring back a cow. Could have had them seen the honey hives of the bees. But God said, tell them to bring back fruit. The Bible says they go into the land, and in verse number 20 it says, it is the time of the first ripe grapes. That's roughly the beginning of July. It's hot. And they go into this hot place and they find something. They go down. They come to a place called Hebron, which is by Mamre. Why would they find something at Mamre? Well, if you remember, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're all three buried at a cave called Machpelah, which is in Mamre. You know what they did? They went back to their heritage, hoping to find a bolstering to their faith by their forefathers. And they were going down to where their forefathers were at, Bob. And they went down to where the old timers used to camp. And they went down to where they could find a little help. And they get down to the place called Mamre. And down at the bottom part of the Sea of Mamre, there's a little spouting brook. And it comes out from the headwaters. And there in that little babbling brook, it's called Eshcol. Because this place at Eshcol is known for one thing. It's known for its abundance of grapes. That word Eshcol, it literally means the cluster. It is so known for the grapes. And I'm going to tell you what they did. 12 spies marched down. The Bible says some of them grabbed pomegranates and some of them grabbed figs. But there were two old boys that said, the pomegranates just won't do me. And the figs just won't do me. They said, I have seen something by the brook. And I've got to take that back to my children. I've got to take that back to my family. I've got to take that back to my kinfolk. Because if they see what I've seen on this side of the river, they won't have any choice but to cross that river. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you what they saw? They saw grapes by that river. And here's what these two spies. Now, we don't know who the two spies were, but I do believe by typology we can pinpoint that it was Joshua and Caleb. Here's why. Because these old boys went and they cut down a branch off of a tree. And they said, my God in heaven, there is no way that we're ever going to be able to carry those grapes out ourselves. We've got to cut down a limb. We've got to get a tree in order to help us. They found a tree, and in order to carry those grapes back, they had to have a tree. And they said, if I can just get these grapes back, they're so big. These grapes are so luscious. These grapes are so big. If my family can just see what I've seen, if my family can just taste what I've tasted, then they will see what I've seen and taste what I have tasted. And the Bible says that old Joshua and Caleb, they cut down the branch. One cluster of grapes. And they said, my God, the juice from these grapes is so sweet. And the juice from these grapes are so juicy and wonderful that if my family can taste what I have tasted, then I know that they... Now notice about these grapes, beloved. The Bible says that one cluster, we've often thought that it was the grape. Nasty. We've often thought that it was the grape that grabbed their attention. It wasn't the grape. It was the solid cluster that one set of grapes was on. Because you know what about these grapes? These grapes are not big and these grapes are not bad in and of themselves. they have a humility about them, but it's where the grapes came from that they said, if I can get my family to see where those grapes came from, I know that they'll be able to taste the sweetness of those grapes. Here is my question, beloved, of all the things that the two faithful spies were able to lay their hands on, what was it about that one cluster of grapes that the pomegranates wouldn't do and the figs wouldn't do? Here is what I believe. They didn't know it at the time, but they were picking off a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the grapes at Eshcol are a picture of our crucified and risen Lamb. So by the help and grace of God, I'm going to do what old Joshua and old Caleb did. And I want to teach you about the grapes of Eshcol, because if you can learn about the grapes at Eshcol, what helped those boys get faith in their heart, and I want you to get this in your mind. They're hauling this thing all the way from Mamre to Kadesh Barnea. It's probably a 50-mile hike, and they're carrying this thing, and they're having to walk through hills and walk through. I wonder what it was about these boys. What was it about those grapes? Can you imagine as they were bouncing along? I believe old Caleb and old Joshua probably said, what's that sweet smell? What is that smell that I smell? And I believe those boys probably said, my God, those grapes are so good. I've got to get them back to my family. What was it about those grapes? Number one, let me talk to you about the blessing of those grapes. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what those are? Those are grapes. It's amazing to me that Jesus said in John chapter number 5, and don't get your eyes, they're going to wander in and out. You're going to get a taste of what old Joshua and Caleb got to tasting and saw. So if they come by you, don't get nervous. It's just a little honey from another world. It's just a taste of what's on the other side of the river. Here's those grapes. What did Jesus say in John chapter number 15? He said, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Do you know what that was? That vine is a great vine. Come here, fellas. Come on, I need to show them what Joshua and Caleb saw. What was it about that grape? Well, number one, when you look at this grape, do you realize that grapes are not native to the land of Israel? They grow them in Israel, but there is not a native grape that grows. They had to come from another country. They didn't grow up there naturally. They had to be shipped in from another plateau. There was another country that gave up what they had so that Israel could have what they had. And here is what happened. Those grapes had to come from another world, and they had to be replanted in the nation of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, I know Jesus came forth from the womb of a virgin, but he was not created in the womb of a virgin. I know he came forth of a woman, but he didn't come from a woman. In fact, he didn't come from nowhere. You know why he didn't come from nowhere? Because when you ain't going nowhere, you ain't got no need to come from somewhere. You've already been there. You is there. You gonna be there. And when tomorrow comes, you will have already been there. And when yesterday passes, you're still there. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That means he was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But you know what? There is such thing as time travel, and here it is. Jesus is in your yesterday, and he's in your today, and he's already in your tomorrow. And as faithful as he was yesterday, he will be today, and he shall be tomorrow. You don't have to fear, fret, or be afraid, because the same God that was with you yesterday, he'll be with you today and tomorrow. You know why? Because our Savior was not born from a virgin's womb. He was born out through a virgin's womb, but he was conceived of seed by the Holy Ghost, and he came from the bosom of the Father, sitting at the right hand of God Almighty. You say, did he have a body before he was born? He must have had something, because the Bible says, and the captain of the Lord's host and the captain of our salvation, he walked with Moses and he walked with Joshua and he talked to Abraham. So I don't know where his body came from, but I do know this, long before you and I came along, he already was. Long before time ever began, he was already here for millions and billions and trillions and gazillions of years, because he always has been and he always shall be. Just like that grape, he is not native to this world, but aren't you glad when you couldn't make a long journey to him? Good God, he came a long journey to you. And when you could not get to where he was, praise God, he came to me. Number one, grapes are not native. Number two, grapes in the Holy Lands are not grown on trellises. they're allowed to run on the ground. Trellises is an Eastern thing. But in the Middle East, what they would do in the Bible days is they would allow the grapes to grow wild low to the ground. That's a picture of the humility of Christ. He was not born and lived on some high plane. He was a carpenter's son. He knew what it was like to hunger. He knew what it was like to thirst. He knew what it was like to have pain. He knew what it was like to feel abandoned. He knew what it was like. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have a Savior, and I don't have a Savior. Y'all keep on going, boys. I want them to smell the grapes and to get the juice flowing in their beard. Say amen right there. Here's what I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. Our Savior, do you know why He sympathizes with your agony? Because He's been in the same agony. And do you know why He sympathizes with your pain? Because He's been in the same pain. You know why He sympathizes with your abandonment? Because He's already been abandoned by the Father. He knows everything you feel long before you felt it. He knows everything you're going to think long before you think it. You say, explain that. Honey, I can't explain it, but I know it to be so. He's never seen a grave He didn't walk down to. He's never been to a cancer bed He did not stand beside. He's never seen an abandoned mother and said, I'm not going to bring you bread. He's never found a single father and said, I will not help you. You know why? Because He's been where you are and He's not going to leave you where you're at. Brothers and sisters, they grow close to the ground. Number three, you know what else I found out about grapes? No cholesterol. There's not a thing in this grape that'll clog your arteries. Nothing will hinder the flow of your life. Brothers and sisters, I have met a man and he lived in Nazareth and he walked the shores of Galilee. I've met a man that was in Peter's fishing boat. I've met a man that was in John's dreams. I've met a man that was in Paul's vision. I've met a man that Abraham supped with. I've met a man that Noah communed with. I've met a man that Enoch walked with. I've met a man that shed his blood for Adam. I have met a man that was Mary's friend. I have met a man that walked and talked to prostitutes and never one time sinned. I've met a man that took a woman in the very act of adultery and said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. May I say this and say this very clear, you can't get into sin when you're full of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very easy to figure out who's walking with God and who's not walking with God. Are you living like a junkyard dog? You're not living like Jesus. But if you, my friend, are doing everything you can to run away from sin and you feel like I stumble and I fall, here's what I'm telling you, that there is nothing that comes in your path and nothing that comes into your life that God has not planned or ordained. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says that all things work together. Brother Jamie's coming up here to get him some juice. Say amen right there. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Therefore, you that are living in Christ and walking in Christ and trying to honor Christ, and you say this happened or that happened or this messed up or that went wrong or this thing shortcutted or this thing turned aside, this is what you've got to understand. None of that is clogging up the life that is within you, because it went by the throne of God. It went by the hand of God. It was transferred through the blood of God, and it was given by the Holy Ghost of God. And you can't have something that flows by Him and in Him and through Him and with Him and have it clog up your life. Beloved, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I know that death wasn't easy to walk through, but God is still God. You say that divorce wasn't easy to walk through, God is still God. You say that pain isn't easy to deal with, yeah, but God is still God. And no matter how deep I go, no matter how low I get, no matter how far out there I get, ladies and gentlemen, flowing inside of me is the life of God, and His name is Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God. And as long as He is within me, nothing that comes my way can clog up the life within me. Number four, you know what else I found out about grapes? Grapes are most powerful when they're crushed. Flowing from the grape is the juice. When the juice is given, it makes wine. And when wine is given forth, it brings joy. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquity, crushed for our transgressions. You know why? Because a grape on the vine doesn't do anything but look pretty. And a God on a throne doesn't do anything but have to be glorified. And if that's all he ever did, it would be enough. But when I needed joy in life, and I couldn't get to where he was, he came to me. And when I didn't know where he was at, he knew where I was at. And when I couldn't find him, he came finding me. Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask anybody, has a Holy Ghost ever been on a holy search party? And when you didn't know where he was, he came looking for you. Any old sinners remember the good, glad day of your salvation when you couldn't find God, but God came looking for you. And here's what happened. He showed you that day in your life. Just keep walking, fellas. Keep showing them the glory. Here's what he did. He said, I'm going to show you that I'm not just some pretty God on a throne somewhere, but I am a God that came to where you were, and I was not just there with you, but I was crushed for you and I was bruised for you, that by my stripes you may be healed. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've checked up here lately, but the last time God saved me was the first time God saved me, and the only time God's got to save me, because no matter what happens on this earth, come hell, come high water, I'm still in the family of God. I'm still in the book of God. I'm still in the hand of God. I'm still in the plan of God. And no matter what comes my way, I can't get out of that book. I can't get out of that hand. I can't get out of that blood. I can't get out of that plan. And you know what that does? When my life's falling apart and the people all around me are turning their back on me, I realize there's one on the other side of the river that's in the nether world that says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And there's nothing that can happen. It'll take that blood off of your life. So that is the grape harvest. Now watch this. Watch this. All Joshua and Caleb wanted to do, all they wanted to do was get that grape back to their family. They said, if they can taste what I've tasted, they'll never be the same. Listen, I want to make an accusation against the modern day church. People in this world don't need lights. They don't need smoke. They don't need fog machines. You hear me and you hear me well. They don't need glass or wood. They don't need carpet or tile. They don't need chairs or pews. None of that stuff matters. You know what they need? They need some people that have tasted the grapes and say, my God in heaven, if you could just get a little taste of what I've had, if you can just get around Jesus like I've gotten around Jesus, Lord God, your taste to be quenched, your thirst to be quenched. If you can just taste him, you know what your family needs? Your family needs you to tell them about Jesus. They don't need you to tell them about so-and-so's dress or so-and-so's breeches or what Tyler said here or what Tyler said there. They need somebody that'll say, Lord God, I done sipped to the nectar tonight, and I want to tell you about a sweet God. I want to tell you about a sweet Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, they just want somebody that'll bring the grapes of this call to them, the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you what you build a church on? You ready? Jesus. You know what you preach about? Jesus. You know what you sing about? Jesus. You know what you talk about? Jesus. You know what you tell people about? Jesus. You know what you tell husbands about? Jesus. You know what you tell wives about? Jesus. You know what you tell cats about? Nothing. Let them die and go to hell. Say amen right there. What do you tell the world about? You tell them about Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. It's all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about Him. But fellas, come back. Let's talk to you about number two. There's the blessing of those grapes, but watch this. There's the burden of those grapes.
Come up on the stage, fellas. Listen. In order for their family to get the blessing, they have to bear the burden. And the devil has pumped some of you in here to say, it's not worth it. I'm tired of fighting hell. I'm tired of carrying this burden. I'm tired of worrying. I'm tired of fussing. And I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of this person. I'm tired of that person. I'm tired of praying and nothing happening. I'm tired of serving and nobody caring. I'm tired. I'm tired of just going to go. I'm tired of just doing to do. I'm tired. Brothers and sisters, if Joshua and Caleb don't bear the burden, nobody gets the blessing. And I'm looking tonight at the burden bearers of this church. I'm looking at the ones tonight that come alongside and say, Jesus is so sweet, I just got to take the grapes to him. Jesus is so wonderful, I just got to tell a child about him. Jesus is so precious, I got to sing about him. Jesus is so sweet, I got to keep on playing. Jesus is so wonderful, I got to keep on doing. I want to encourage every child of God in here. It is tough serving the Lord. It's hard fighting spiritual warfare. It's tough with the battles of the mind. I know sometimes it doesn't seem like it's worth it, but how many times do you ever think that those men, as they're walking those 50-some miles back, didn't say, my shoulder is killing me. I don't even know why I'm going. I don't even know why I'm doing this. But you know what borne them along the way when they forgot about their kids and forgot about their family? You know what helped them along the way as they're walking down the way and the wind starts to blow. All of a sudden, the tides start to turn. I believe old Caleb went, as Joshua was saying, it ain't worth it. I don't even know why we're doing this. Nobody appreciates it. I believe one of those boys said, do you smell that? I believe the other one said, I don't even know what you're talking about. About that time, the wind whipped it up into his nose again. And you know what he said? He said, something on this journey smells sweet. Something on this journey smells juicy. Something on this journey has made me hunger just a little bit more. You know what it was? When the wind got to whipping up around that grape, they got to smelling the sweetness of the vine. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you what Jesus will do? He'll walk by your way every now and again, and he'll whip the Holy Ghost wind up around you, and you'll get to sniffing out of that Bible and sniffing on those songs and sniffing on those prayers, and you'll say, my God, they may not care, but I sure am glad I get to be this close to the grapes. I am glad I get to be this close to the action. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something I've learned in my 7 years of being with you all? Y'all are crazy people. There ain't a thing sane about 99% of these people in this building. And the 1% are still in car seats. And they wear diapers. Listen, people act crazy. How many of you be honest and say, people crazy? That's what I thought. Yeah, we all do that. The world's going, my mama says it all the time, world's going to hell. World's going crazy. Everybody's lost their mind. And here the last couple of years, she started saying, Tyler, no, I don't think the world's lost their mind. I think we're the crazy ones. Maybe everybody else, and listen, everything just feels like it's falling apart. But let me tell you something. We fight that spiritual warfare. Some of you mamas are fighting those battles. But let me tell you what a privilege it is that God lets us be this close to the Lamb of God. How privileged we are every time we come into the house of God and to know that the Lord is here and that he walks among his people, knowing that every time we come in, it's not going to be dead and it's not going to be dry. Why? Because Jesus is here and Jesus is welcome in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, to those of you that are bearing the burden, keep bearing the burden and get the grapes to them. Now here's my third point. I'm done. I want to talk to you about the brokenness of those grapes. So they come back and they get to the camp and they give them to Moses.
And you know what the people say? The grapes are good, but the battle's too big. The grapes don't do anything for the people that they've done all this work for. It's almost like their labor is in vain. Right? They've brought these grapes back and nobody is paying attention. You feel that way? Nobody's paying attention. So the people say, no, we will not. They rebelled. They don't follow God. They don't go near God. They don't go to... And you know what God says? He says, all right, you get 38 and a half more years in this wilderness. And the story moves into the wilderness wanderings. Here's the question. I asked the Holy Ghost the other day, what happened to those grapes? Joshua and Caleb are carrying them. The people don't want them. What'd they do with them? Think about that. What happened to the grapes of Eshcol? I'll tell you what happened to them. Joshua and Caleb said, if the people don't want them, maybe my family will want them. So this is what they did. They said, and you imagine how heartbroken they were. All that work for nothing. But Joshua said, you know what? Maybe my wife wants one. And she comes into the house. He goes in, and his little wife, she says, what is that? And he says, honey, can I tell you about the sweet grapes? Do you want one? And she says, well, what about everybody else? And he says, nobody else wanted it. But do you want it? And she reaches over and she takes a grape. And then they go to their next family member. They say, Rose, these people didn't want these. Do you want them? And they go to the next one. And I believe as they're going throughout the camp, the people say, what are those? What are those? And Joshua and Caleb, and now this one is now saying, wow. And this one's saying, wow. And that one is saying, and so this guy over here, he says, well, I want to see what all the fuss is about. So he takes him a little cluster. And that guy right there says, wait a second, I got to get me some of that. And he stops. And he tastes it. They're real.
They're real.
And he, you know what he says? These are good. Do you mind if my wife has some? Get her a grape, Rodney. And all of a sudden, word starts spreading how sweet the grapes are. Hey, time. How do I know that? Because when Moses says you can't go, it's just a little bit of time. And a group of them say, no, we messed up. We messed up. We want to go. Bless God, I'm done. I'm done. We want to go. What made them change their mind? I think they tasted the grapes. Get you some grapes, youngins. Taste of how sweet the nectar is in the other world. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, I have met a man from Galilee, and he's better than any man I ever met in Washington, any man I ever met in Raleigh. He's sweeter than any preacher, and he's more lovely than any politician. He's holy, and he's good. And mama started saying to their babies, go get us some grapes from that little tree. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you where that came from? That came from two men that were willing to bear the burden and say, he's worth it. These grapes are worth it. And I'm looking tonight for some people that say, you know what? Today didn't go like I thought it went, but dear little children, look at them babies in the back getting them grapes. Aren't you glad two men were willing to bear the burden? And I'm talking to teachers, I'm talking to laborers, I'm talking to deacons, I'm talking to nursery workers that say, my God, just to see the smile on the grapes of those, on the mouths of those little babies from the sweetness of those grapes, isn't that sweet? It was worth the burden, it was worth the pain, it was worth the warfare. And all of a sudden they get in the back and they say, boys and ladies, get you some grapes, get you
some grape shungins, take your little sweet nectar from another world. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that these boys had those grapes, and when nobody wanted them and when nobody cared, they were just glad they, because mama had it and wife had it and youngins had it and children had it. And watch this, watch this. Come here, come here, come here. Come here, youngins. If you are under 13, come here. Right here, right here, right here, right here. Come on, great boys. Everybody, 13 and under. Come here, come here, come here. Oh, God. Oh, God, let me get through this, Jesus. Let me get through this, Jesus. Don't let me bust, Lord. Oh, God, don't let me bust, Lord. Oh, God, don't let me explode, Lord. Boys, listen, here's what happened. Babies, get you some grapes. Get you as many grapes as you want. Get you as many grapes as you want. Now, you ready? Aren't you ready for this? They were picking on them grapes all that time, and here's what happened. When mama and daddy messed up on God, this generation, they're the generation that went and inhabited the promised land. I wonder what it was that made them push through. I wonder what it was that made them go forward. You know what it was? They said, when I was a young kid, come on, Autumn, get you some, baby. Get in there. Hunter, get him some. Get him some. Get him some, Mason. And all of a sudden, oh, he broke off a cluster. Yeah, get you some, son. This is what happened. These babies right here, they said, I tasted something when I was a kid. And I got to find it again. That's where some of you that have been in all these jacked up churches have been. You said, I tasted something when I was a kid. And I got to have... Listen to them. Listen to them. Listen to them. Listen. This is the sound of joy. This is what happens when joy comes into the camp. And you know what happened? You know how joy got in the camp? Because two guys were willing to bear the burden. Mama, you better keep praying. Daddy, you better keep serving. It's worth every dime. All right, babies, y'all gonna get drunk on the wine. Go back to your seats. Y'all go. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Tim. Hear me now and hear me, hear me, hear me. Look at me, church. Look at me. To see the smile on two babies, to see the smile on your youngins, wasn't it worth carrying the burden? You and me. Bob, just for us. That's why we say Jesus is wonderful. And on the day that you feel like quitting and giving up on your kids and your grandkids and your church family and your marriage and everything else, I pray the Holy Ghost will bring back to you the grapes of Eshkol. It's worth every mile of the trip. It's worth every mile of the trip. And all God's people said together,